Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The text that we'll base our meditation on this day in which we commemorate Christ's ascension is found in the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, as follows. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is the word of God. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, whose resurrection from the dead raises each of his believers to a new spiritual life, dear fellow redeemed, I wonder if you're acquainted with what perfect pitch is. It's a peculiar and very rare ability that some people have to produce an accurate musical tone off the top of their heads without using any musical instrument. You say A flat, and they can hum an A flat. You say C, and they can sing a perfect C. A good friend of mine has this ability, and I've always envied it. He can tune his guitar just by turning the pegs and listening to the sound. People with perfect pitch are few and far between, so that means that the rest of us have to use an instrument when we want to find a pitch, a pitch pipe or a piano or a tuning fork. And that's fine, as long as the piano or the tuning fork is accurate. In our text for this morning, the Apostle Paul is giving us what amounts to a very accurate tuning device. It's also very important for living our Christian life. What is that benchmark, that baseline, that perfect tone that's essential for Christian living? It is the ascension of our Lord Jesus. Today, Paul tells us to seek those things which are above where Christ is. So if you feel like you might perhaps have been seeking some of the wrong things in your life recently, tuning out the things of God and perhaps tuning in a little more than you should on the things of this world, then today's text is just the thing to get you back on key again. Our theme is, the ascension gives us our perfect pitch. It's perfect for revealing the false notes of this sinful world in which we live, and it's perfect for tuning our hearts to the glorious life to come. Do you ever wonder what's so important about Ascension Day? The day on which our Lord Jesus returned back into heaven is so important that it's one of the most important holidays in the entire Christian church year. So important, in fact, that there are some Christian congregations that name their church after the ascension. You might be able to think of an example. 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus went back up into heaven. Why is that so important? And why does it matter in lives of people like you and me? Well, there's a lot of reasons. For one thing, it means that Jesus now has all authority and is exercising all authority for our benefit. The ascension means that he truly is our king, and that as our king, he is holding his protecting hand constantly over us to guard us, to provide for all our needs, and to fight against our enemies on our behalf, just like any earthly king would do. Also, the ascension reminds us that our king is victorious. He's a king who's never been defeated and never will be. In Psalm 110, God foretells the ascension victory when he says through the prophet David, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." That promise was fulfilled on the first ascension day. As Paul told the Ephesians, God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. What earthly enemy could possibly cause fear in the hearts of Jesus' believers now that Christ, our King and head, is protecting us? But there's another way that the ascension benefits all of us, and that's really the subject of our text for today. Paul says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God." The fact that our Lord Jesus ascended on high and is now seated in a position of authority at the right hand of God, that fact naturally draws our eyes upward. It directs our attention on heavenly things. It provides us with a reference point. Ascension Day, if you will, gives us our perfect pitch. Why? Well, in the first place, it's perfect for revealing the false notes of the sinful world in which you and I live. You know, that's not always an easy task. Paul admonishes us in Titus, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Well, sure, if only all of us did that. But that's the problem, isn't it? Unfortunately, the things of this world tend to be extremely distracting. Many years ago now, professional musicians in the East End of London noticed an unusual phenomenon. They noticed that all the errand boys in that part of town were whistling out of tune. It puzzled them for some time until they discovered that the bells of Westminster Cathedral had gone slightly out of tune and were playing off key. Of course, the boys weren't aware of that. Quite unconsciously, they had adopted the false notes of the bells. Sadly, you and I too have the tendency to take our pitch from the environment in which we live. We tend to copy the people with whom we associate. We tend to take some of our ideas from the books we read and the videos and TV shows and movies we watch, and increasingly nowadays from the internet and from social media, Facebook and Twitter. Our minds are easily led astray. It's easy to lose our pitch and lose sight of the things that are really important. And we tend to focus on those things that really aren't all that important. Scripture says that God's word is like a mirror. You look at it and it shows you yourself. But as soon as you walk away from it, you forget what you look like. Well, it's easy to lose your pitch too. You take your perfect pitch from God's word, but then you walk away and you're involved in the world, and gradually you begin to lose that perfect pitch and your tone goes a little bit flat. But Ascension Day is great because it snaps us right back. Seek those things which are above, Paul says, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Imagine if you had a half an hour to sit down with your Savior Jesus himself in heaven at the right hand of God right now and talk to him. Say, for instance, you could sit with Jesus for a half an hour and review your schedule for the coming week. Do you think any of the items on your schedule might change a little bit? Do you think your list of priorities might need to be adjusted somewhat? Why don't we make those adjustments anyway? I don't think you'd miss any of your prayers, would you? I don't think you'd bypass your devotions or your Bible readings. I'm pretty sure you wouldn't allow yourself to consider attendance here in God's house to be optional. Let's make those changes anyway. Ascension Day strikes the perfect tone for us to tune our entire lives to. It clearly identifies for us the false and discordant notes of the things of the world. They just don't ring true when you check them with the perfect pitch of heaven. Paul talks about the destructive music, if you will, of the unbelieving world in which we live when he says to the Philippians, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Well, about this time, I'm beginning to wonder whether you're like me at all, and whether you feel really guilty about the amount of time you've spent focused on the things of the world, and just how distracted you've become, and how far flat your tone has gotten because of the influence of the world around you. Well, if we feel guilty, there's a good reason for that. It's because we are guilty. How can we get rid of that guilt? How can we get right with God and focus ourselves once again on heavenly things where our attention ought to be? This is another great reason why ascension gives us our perfect pitch, because it's perfect for tuning our hearts to the glorious life to come. Paul says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." You died. That sounds pretty serious. What do you think that means? Actually, there are two answers to that question, and they're both really good news. You died with Christ, and you died to sin. You have online bill pay at your house? Maybe you're like me, and you were pretty uneasy when you first started doing that about actually sending real money over the internet. Well, one of the ways they make those transactions more secure is by encryption, by locking the information up with a complicated code so that only you and the person receiving your money can read the information. Well, it's interesting that the word encryption comes from the same Greek word that the apostle is using in our text for today when he says, "Your life is hidden with Christ in God." You see, when you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit made a connection between you and Jesus, a faith connection. And that connection is hidden or encrypted. Other people can't really see it, and you shouldn't expect unbelievers especially to understand your Christian faith. By faith, you've been locked to Jesus. Yes, that very same Jesus who at this moment is exercising all power at the right hand of God in heaven. You're locked to Christ, and that means you're locked into all the benefits of his life, his death, his resurrection, and yes, his ascension. When you died, when Jesus died, you died too in a way. That is, all those sins of which you're guilty, all the failures and mistakes and transgressions and rebellions of your past, they were all carried to the cross by Jesus. There he atoned for them. There he released you from the guilt of those sins. There at the cross he set you free from the power of sin to condemn you. In the previous chapter, the apostle says that Jesus has wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So in that sense, we died with Christ. We also died to sin. As believers, our life isn't about sin anymore. Our life's course isn't charted according to the sinful ways of the world. It can't be determined by sin. We can't go back and sing that old sinful song of the world anymore. Now we're believers. Now we're taking our pitch from our ascended Lord Jesus. And what does that mean? It means that we have died to sin. True, we still have our sinful flesh within us, and every day it tempts us. Every day it tries to make our tone go off by a few half steps. It tries to drag our thoughts away from heaven and our hands away from serving our Lord Jesus. But its ruling power in our lives, that has now been superseded. Now our lives are hidden with the Lord Jesus. Paul said to the Romans, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." Well, it goes without saying that a dead person can't respond to any stimulus whatever. A dead person isn't interested in money or power or pleasure. Likewise, Paul encourages you to be dead to sin, to live a life that is tuned out to sin and tuned in to the ascended Christ. That your ears be dead to sinful sounds and your eyes be dead to sinful sights. That your heart be dead to the pleasures of this present evil world. Our pleasure is in Christ, and as we know, there are much greater pleasures yet to come. And that brings us to the glorious final verse of our text, a verse that is exceedingly sweet, the sweetest note of all, the note to which our entire life is tuned. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Your life, what's really exceptional about you as a person, that's hidden with Christ. People can't see that part of you now. When you're walking down the street, you look just like any other person. By the way, Jesus was the same, wasn't he? Isaiah said of him, he has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Outward appearances indicated that Jesus was nothing special. And, of course, the same is true about you. But it wasn't true. There was something special about him and something very special about you, too, as well. You are one of the saints of God. You are one of God's very own elect children. You're part of that tiny elite group of people who are locked into Christ, who have this glorious difference. The world didn't understand Jesus. The world isn't going to understand you either. They're looking down. You're looking up. Their hearts are tuned to the false, evil notes of this sinful world. Your hearts are tuned to heaven. It's a hidden difference now. But the day is coming when that difference is going to be obvious and plain for all to see. On Judgment Day, Scripture says, every knee will bow to the Lord Jesus. They will see him as he really is, and they'll see you as you are as well. The Apostle John says with wonder in his voice, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The prospect of entering heaven and seeing our Lord Jesus face to face in the flesh, that prospect is so wonderful that it causes to arise in our hearts another emotion, the emotion of yearning. The more you read about and meditate on that eternal life that is promised you in heaven, the more it makes you long for that day to arrive, the more it makes your heart yearn for those heavenly courts. Kind of funny to talk about Christmas in the month of May, but I can't help thinking about that favorite Christmas carol in which we sing, oh, where shall joy be found? Where but on heavenly ground? Where the angels singing with all his saints unite, sweetest praises bringing in heavenly joy and light. Oh, that we were there. Oh, that we were there. Well, we're not there yet. We're not there yet, but we shall be. We shall be there singing with the angels, and it won't be long. And we can start getting tuned up for that right now by rejecting the false, sinful notes of this evil world and tuning our hearts to that glorious life that is to come. One thing we do know, Ascension Day will give us our perfect pitch. Amen.